Grace, peace, and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my fellow believers. Chesterton, the well-known British writer, once said, "It's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting, but it's that Christianity has not been tried." And when I was studying this particular text, these words of Chesterton's came to my mind. There's probably not a person here this morning that hasn't really tried Christianity as Jesus portrayed it in the text read a moment or two ago. In the sense that we are all worrywarts. We worry about this and we worry about that, so much so that sometimes we're virtually at our wit's end. And in studying the text, I thought perhaps the best theme to capture the text are two simple words: don't worry. That in reality is what Jesus was talking about, I think. And it's something that you and I need to tell ourselves again and again. And as we look closely at the text, we see that worrying doesn't help materially. We worry about food and drink, as our text talks about. But you and I also know that if we look back upon all the many at times that we've worried and the like, it doesn't really help materially. For example, worry tends to destroy concentration. We worry about a certain thing and our concentration goes awry or becomes muddled. And the problem that we're worrying about, that we want to solve, now lacks the proper concentration. This can be illustrated many ways. I'm sure you probably all have heard of somebody who had a type of worry, mind all taxed and cluttered up with certain things, driving a car on the road. Worrying about a certain problem very often created another problem. The person got into an accident. I know of one particular incident. Students were advisors of mine back in Seward, Nebraska, indicated that a friend of theirs had something bothering them on their mind with a car full of kids and drove right into an intersection and several of them got killed. Worrying destroys concentration in things like this and many other ways, and thereby creates more problems. Now this person who was worrying had more to worry about. And isn't that true so often with us in life? And yet we fail to remember the words that Jesus really told us in our text. Worrying doesn't even help us materially. Who of you, he said, can add to his stature by your worrying? Who of us can add to our well-being by worrying? In fact, the very opposite happens. Worry also saps the human body. Again, most of us know it, but talk to doctors, to nurses, who work with people every day who often see the results of worry. Worry leads, as we know, to ulcers in many instances, to hypertension, better known as high blood pressure, indigestion, and a whole host of other factors. Worry even retards recovery when we are ill. There's no plus to it whatsoever, I think Jesus was telling us. So, don't worry. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? Even when you're worrying, you're probably telling yourself not to, and yet that doesn't seem to be the antidote. I think Jesus in our text, however, is trying to give us an antidote. When he was telling us that your Heavenly Father knows what you need, he knows what your problems are, but that's where the difficulty so frequently comes in. We do not really think or believe that seriously enough at that time. And so we continue to worry. Secondly, worry not only doesn't help materially, but it doesn't help spiritually, I think our text tells us too. Because our text tells us O you of little faith. And when we are lacking in faith, our spirituality is not at its high point. And worry tends to bring that about. It taxes our spirituality. It really puts in doubt the grace and the kindness and the loving things that God has done for us in our lives and will continue to do so. So worry in many ways shows a lack of trust in God. It may sound harsh, but yet I think that's what Jesus was trying to say when he said, "You of little faith." It really so frequently doesn't leave very much room for God. It somehow thinks that you or I can conquer our problems and resolve them by ourselves, and we fail to call upon God and leave room for Him. It places too much emphasis on our ability, on what I can do, on what I ought to do and need to do. And worry also not only tends to show how we lack trust in God at those moments, but also reveals our misplaced priorities. We fail to remember that God, who was kind enough to bring us here, to sustain us every day, who gives us our daily bread as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, will also take care of us in our problems that we worry about. Don't worry. The text concludes by saying that if we seek first the kingdom of God, all these things that apparently we worry about will take or be taken care of. This almost reminds one what one sometimes hears by or from the lips of some of these television preachers, that if you really, truly, honestly believe in God and place the kingdom of God first, you'll even get wealthy. I'm not sure if Jesus had that in mind in our text. But what he did have in mind is that we who profess to believe in God and know what he's done to us or for us in Jesus Christ, confide in him. Let him worry for us. Cast all your cares upon him. How do we do that? Not so easy, is it? We obviously can't do it by ourselves spiritually. God needs to help us by reminding us, as he does in this particular text, for example. But we also need the communion of saints, I think, to help us from our worry-filled days. Fellow Christians, fellow believers, as we confide in them, will frequently perhaps give us another slant on the thing that we worry about. They may remind us that God has been good to us in the past and will be good to us again in the future. Yes, I'm sure that every one of us will continue to worry after we leave here again. However, I hope that when we do, we would be a little bit more mindful of the words that Jesus spoke. I think as he spoke these words to disciples, he was speaking them to them as he always did, with love and concern. God doesn't want you and me as his children to be worrywarts. He wants us to have confidence in life because of what he's done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's an antidote for not worrying. We constantly have to remind ourselves of it. And as Christians, as fellow Christians, let remind one another of it. When you see a brother or sister who, as we would say, down in the dumps and worry laden, don't worry. God is with us, even when it appears like he isn't. Don't worry. He is in control. Don't worry. He will make things come out, as St. Paul says, to good to them that love God. I know of no better way of summing up the text that we heard. May we, in God's grace and kindness, do remember it for the rest of our life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.